Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. Oh, it is Wednesday. It's What's on Your Mind. Oh, Jason's here with me. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you? How was your New Year, man?
My New Year was good. How was yours?
It was good. I'm still recovering.
Yeah.
I'm too old for that stuff.
Yeah. wait till you get to my age, buddy. you've been a little more vocal lately than I have, man. You've been popping on these lives like seems like every day now, man. Are you jonesing because we haven't been doing podcasts?
No, it's simply because of boredom. I'm ahead of schedule on a lot of the shit that I wanted to get done in the first place, so pretty much bored. Nice. Plus, I enjoy the interaction, man. You know that. I love interacting with people and shit. So,
no, I know you do. All right, man. Well, let's jump into this one because I'm excited for this one. Hopefully, we get a lot of viewers on this one. You know, they kind of better, seeing as how they've been asking for this for quite some time, and you know, we finally got it going. So, you know, we won't stick around or won't mess around too much. So, the website, thedetailsolutionspodcast.com. That's where you can go and find all the links to where you can listen to the podcast. If you're just catching us on YouTube and don't know that we're an actual podcast, thedetailsolutionspodcast.com, perfect place to go to and find all of our links. Pretty much anywhere you listen to a podcast, you can find us. It's also going to have our preferred vendor page that is going to have all of our partners. I'm using the word partners now because I like that much better. Our partners in this that help us out, and you know, they're giving you guys a discount so that you can go spend some money with them. Then they're going to spend some money with us, and then we're going to give you the funny. So hashtag money, money, funny. And then also, you know, we have a new, if you guys didn't listen to the podcast last week, we have a new partnership jumping on board, and that is the Car Supplies Warehouse is now on board with us. So we appreciate Jason and Greg and those guys for jumping on. And then also there's the merch store. You can go on there and find the t-shirts, the Concaster t-shirt, the podcast logo t-shirt, hoodie, and then the banner style embroidered head or hat. So again, like I said, we stream these live on YouTube every week. So you can find us at the Detail Solutions Podcast. Make sure you go like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell. So when it comes up, you might be able to catch these episodes a little bit earlier. You can watch them and then you can re-listen to them at work. For Mobile Tech Expo is coming up really, really soon. If you haven't bought tickets by now, like I'm guessing you're not going to go. But if you just wait until the last minute, the code is DSP15. That'll save you 15% off of your tickets. It's going to be January 26th through the 28th here in Orlando, Florida. And then you can also go to mobiletechexpo.com/golden-mic or golden-mic. And please nominate us for the Golden Mic Award. It's not based off of votes. You do actually have to type something nice. They do pick it off of the best story or the best kind of review type thing. And then lastly, just please go like, share, subscribe anywhere that you listen to us, follow us. Please leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or on Apple, just like you guys asking for a review from your clients to help you with Google. That does put us in front of more listeners or viewers to where we can get more people listening to this. Okay, so on with the episode. So most of you who are watching this see that that I titled it, and hopefully Allstate doesn't come and sue us or send us a cease and desist.
We're fucked, or whatever. Dude. We are fucked.
But protect yourself from mayhem. So we've had a lot of you guys and gals reach out to us and ask us to please do an episode about insurance. And, you know, I had a couple of people who said that they would do it and then bailed out for one reason or another. So I'm happy to welcome our guest, Mr. Warren Morris, who's here with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, guys. Thank you guys for inviting me onto your show.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you did this. You know, one of my clients is a partner of yours, and you know, I completely forget that he does insurance sometimes because we don't really talk about it. And so I kind of pitched
Chris.
him. You know, I said, "Yeah," I said, "You know, hey, you know, do you know anybody?" He's like, "Oh, I got the perfect dude." And so I'm glad that you could do this. Hopefully, you know, we can get some questions answered, point some people in the right direction of, you know, maybe what they should do. And I mean, I know we're kind of talking detailing, but it's business. I'm guessing business insurance is business insurance.
Yeah, and you know, you picked the right guy. Well, first off, I know Chris really well, so we were partners together for the better part of 7 years, and I still to this day beat that guy on the golf course. So I think that's why he chose me to come on the show, because I'm a much
Nice.
better golfer and much much better looking dude than Chris is. But I'm just joking, Chris, if you're listening. But yes, I mean, insurance is part of business. It's something that you have to have, and I'm here to answer any questions. I actually used to be a business owner prior to me getting into insurance, so I've been on both sides of the table. So I have a
Awesome.
unique perspective where I'm not trying to sell you anything. I've never tried to provide my clients, you know, here's what I do, and I want to sell you this and make some money. Truly, insurance has to be a part of your business where we find something that you're concerned about, and we look at a policy to transfer that risk and a way for you to mitigate the problems that you could potentially have and help you just focus on your business and be productive and let the insurance policy kick in when it needs to.
Right. Now, just for everybody who's watching or listening to this tomorrow, kind of just give us like a little bit of, you know, who is Warren Morris? You know, you know, what do you do in the insurance game? What are you know, certified to do or all that fun stuff?
I'll give you the 30-second elevator speech, so I don't want to bore everyone to tears. But I've been in insurance for about 14 years. I actually went to Florida State University, which has a revered insurance risk management program, which I didn't go to. I was actually an art major. I came back and worked with mom and dad, actually, right out of school. We had a family business. But long story short, you know, all my fraternity brothers and good friends that had gone through the insurance risk management program at Florida State, you know, had talked me into maybe giving it a shot, which I did. And I started my career at a company out of Tampa, Clearwater, focused my career in workers' compensation. I transitioned from workers' comp to a lot of contractors' insurance and transportation. And I slowly worked up the ladder, moving from one company to another, finally becoming a partner of an insurance agency that we specifically did hospitality. We did a lot of hotels and restaurants. I helped build the verticals for their construction side, and we helped build new carriers and so forth to give new avenues for our clients. And then actually in 2019, it was me and my two partners. We decided to merge and be acquired by Hub International, which I am now the executive vice president for their Florida Orlando office, and I provide commercial risk management services essentially for any business, essentially general liability, property, workers' compensation, auto, anything that falls in your property and casualty lines, not your health and benefits, but we do have folks that do that. And you know, I help provide solutions to folks. I primarily have a book of business of property and contractors, again, transportation, but you know, my job is to really come in, find a problem that another insurance agent really has not helped solve, and provide a solution that is not only attainable but is affordable. And then we look at a risk management program for not the short term but a long term fix, which will help them forecast a budget for them to be profitable over the next 4 to 5 years. So I'm sort of part of the risk management side, but I'm also part of the financial services for companies to help them, you know, really contain their budget and their money, essentially.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, listen, we're close to that 10-minute mark. So let's jump in and do our first ad, and then I want to come back and hit you, I think, with the main question that everybody kind of needs to know. So we'll be right back.
Got it.
3, 2, 1, Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below the waist grooming have you covered for your much needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer and go to manscaped.com and use the code DSP for 20% off and free shipping worldwide. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. All right, so that's the new one, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. that was a one take this afternoon, Russian, to get it done.
I actually bought that thing too, man. So don't worry about it. I actually use
we
it.
All
so
have
it actually
one.
Works.
We all, yeah, we all have it. We have it. They're great sponsors. Okay, so the first question that I want to ask you, which I think is the most important question, is why do we need insurance? You know, the main thing, you know, you see a lot of these, you know, guys or girls upstart, you know, and they're just kind of washing out of their car doing mobile stuff. And they, you know, don't really do a business license, don't get insurance right away. They're just starting up and doing it. But what is the importance of making sure whether you're mobile or have a shop that you are covered insurance wise?
All right. So for the most part, if you want to compare yourself against another company that's essentially competing for your business, they're going to have certain items that are going to differentiate themselves from you. So to me, a business that's going to be a little bit more professional and appeal to a high net worth client that's got a Bugatti, a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, whatever, you know, a nice car, is going to expect or at least look into the fact that that individual should at least have some type of liability insurance. Now, you know, I can imagine, you know, I detail my cars a lot. I use a mobile service sometimes too, but you know, the chances of you, making a complete disaster, just washing your car, I can't imagine unless you did something terribly wrong. But there's a good chance if you're doing a lot of other applications and so forth that you could damage the paint. It could be a very expensive job. And that person individually might not have the resources or so forth to pay for those damages. So an insurance policy can step in and help you transfer that risk to a policy, whereas yourself personally might not have the resources to pay for those damages that you caused to somebody's property.
Right. And when somebody's looking to get insurance for their company, because I know, like, you know, there's always what is it? It's usually like, you know, 250, 500, 500, a million, million, 2 million. Like, how do you know which, you know, one to take? You know, I mean, versus, you know, you might go, okay, well, you know, do I really need 1 million, 2 million? You know, coverage, or can I get away with 250, 500, or maybe 500 million's that sweet spot? Like, how does somebody kind of know what's the right one to do?
So it sounds to me that you're talking about specifically general liability, which is third party liability coverage to other people's property or bodily injury. And the limits you're talking about are specifically your per occurrence, which is essentially each time something might happen, or your aggregate limit, which is essentially the cap to a policy for the amount that you could potentially have for the whole year. So for instance, I'm in the large commercial business division of Hub. So, you know, our standardized policy, you know, starts at 1 million, 1 million, right? So that's a $1 million per occurrence, $1 million aggregate, and then we can build a policy, you know, next to that. So a lot of the next step is truly usually a $1 million per occurrence and $2 million aggregate. That's kind of where we start at. But essentially what it says to you is, you know, for each time that I get involved into an accident or something happens, I have up to $1 million worth per occurrence of liability coverage. And in a policy term, typically 12 months to a year, I have up to $1 million or $2 million worth of coverage. You know, there's not a tremendous increase in premium between the 500, 500 and the 1 million, 2 million. You know, I would probably push you obviously to get more limits than less limits, because right now in Florida, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, and some of these folks are actually clients of my insurance agency, but you know, the larger attorney shops that are out there, the Morgans, Morgans, the Newlands and so forth, you know, they are going to look at the policy limits and they're going to try to take it all the way to the limit. So, you know, to me, I would always advise somebody to look at the higher limits, but, you know, I can understand that if you're starting up and you're looking just to get the cheapest thing that you can, you're going to look at maybe a 250, 500, 500, 500. But I would ask your agent, you know, hey, look, what's the cost to buy up to the 1 million, 2 million? And I'll tell you why. Like the main thing is, you know, when you're providing a certificate of insurance to your prospective client, they're going to look at that and say, you know, wow, like, you know, this doesn't look enough to basically cover the property that I'm going to let them use for the next 3 or 4 days. They're going to apply PPF to my, you know, 1 of 5 Lamborghini. It might not be enough. So in my opinion, I would say the 1 million, 2 million per occurrence aggregate limit is where I would start.
Okay. And then for people that, you know, have shops and do garage keepers, you know, how would you kind of, you know, recommend that or refer that? Because like myself, my shop is, I mean, it could be a bomb shelter, honestly. I mean, it's cinder blocks mm-hmm. all the way around and then 4 foot concrete, you know, beams on the top for the roof. So, I mean, like, I don't have to worry about it falling down. And I don't do 1 of 5 Lamborghinis or things like that. I, you know, stay in that like 50,000 to 150,000 range cars. So like our garage keepers, I think is a little on the low side. I think we have like $25,000 or $35,000 in garage keepers because the chances of damage exceeding that number in my shop is pretty slim to none, right? Knock on wood. But for somebody that's thinking about garage keepers or, you know, is not sure about it, what's the best way to do that? And, you know, how, I guess, what exactly is it covering?
So, I would say my beginning comments, my introduction is essentially a transfer of risk, right? So, you know, insurance, that's all it is. You know, you're looking at yourself as I'm a business owner. I'm willing to take on XYZ risk. And if it gets, you know, I think I heard Jason say the word shit, so I can say, you know, shit hit the fan.
Oh, yeah.
If shit hit the fan, you're going to want to transfer that to your policy, right? So let's just say you damage a really nice BMW M3, you know, $100,000 car, and, you know, it might cost you 10 grand to fix the bumper and the hood. You might say, I'm going to self-insure that. I'm going to pay it out of pocket. You know, I got a guy that I know at BMW. I can get the parts cheap. I'll put it on the car. As long as the owner of that car is like, yeah, man, I'm good. Cool. Fine. We're good. You know, the flip of the coin is the guy could say, God, you know, you just ruined my car. I've got 5 miles on the odometer. I want a brand new car. Like, I don't want you to fix the thing. Like, I can't, you know, the diminished value on this vehicle now is, you know, horrific. Like, I want a new car. And he might go get an attorney and say, look, man, this thing's 100 grand. This guy trashed it. He can keep my car, but I want a new car. And you're going to say, well, God, you know, I'm up for 10 grand. I'm up for 15 grand, but I'm not paying 100 grand. And that's why you're going to say, you know, insurance policy, you're going to kick in, you know, you're going to pay your deductible and let them deal with that. So it's sort of your risk tolerance. You know, it's kind of one of the questions I sit down with my business owners and say, look, you know, what's your biggest problem? And the first thing I say, I paid too much goddamn money for my insurance. And I'd never see my insurance guy. I freaking hate insurance. You know, why do I need this? You know, and I'm like, well, God, Jesus, you're so angry. Let's sit down and talk about this. And then I find out like they've never had a discussion on what they're really risk tolerant on. Like, hey, I'm willing to take on this if it's going to offset my insurance costs. Like, I'm good with having a higher deductible, or I'm good of getting this coverage out. Like, I don't think I'm going to have a, you know, fist fight in my shop. Like, that's not something I'm concerned about. So assault and battery, let's just move that off the plate. You know, what's the insurance premium going to be if I take that out? So we look at things that you need and things you don't need, and then what it would cost to maybe, you know, add this and add that. we try to find an insurance policy that will adapt with your business. You're going to grow in the next 5 years, so we want to grow with them. But essentially, it's really just sitting down and saying, you know, hey, Alex, what is your risk tolerance? You know, the building's not going to fall down, but you're in care and custody and control of this vehicle for the next 5 days. How do you feel if it went sideways? You know, I'm up for this or I'm up for that. You know, and that's then how we build a policy from there.
Okay. Gotcha. And then, like, how would you recommend somebody getting insurance on, so, you know, on maybe cars that are, you know, of a ridiculous value, right? And the story that I'll tell, because it happened to me, was, you know, the first time I did a Ferrari, it was a brand new Portofino, $335,000 price tag on it. And it was going to be with me for 5 days because the guy was dropping it off on Monday. He's like, I'm going to Chicago. I'll see you Friday, you know? So I immediately called our insurance company and I said, you know, hey, you know, I know our garage keepers is only, you know, $25,000 or $35,000, but I've got this $300,000 plus car sitting in my garage for the next, or in my shop for the next 5 days. Like, mm-hmm. can I up my coverage? And we have Allstate, we use Allstate for the business here in Sanford. And the lady said, you know, yeah, let me get back with you. Let me, you know, call around or whatever. And best she could do was $250. So for the person that has the opportunity to do a, you know, $1 million Bugatti or a $750,000 McLaren or, you know, something stupid, like, how do you find, you know, an insurance that's going to, you know, that you can raise your garage keepers or whatever to be able to cover that amount, God forbid something ever happened?
All right, I'll be kind to your Allstate agent at the same time. So the difference working with me and working with an Allstate agent is the fact that they're kind of tied into the products that they can get access to, which is Allstate products, right? But if you work with an agent that's got access to multiple carriers and companies, they can solve a problem. So the quick and easy fix is, hey, I'm going to work with an agent that's got access to XYZ companies, and I have this problem. So X can't fit, Y can't fit, Z can't fit. What can you do? Well, I'm going to go back to ABCD companies and say, look, you know, my man is now, you know, he's working on these higher end cars. You know, we're going to need a policy that's going to have an average of this. You know, what will it be? You know, so that's number one. Number two is, you know, let me be realistic, because like I said, I was a business owner before I used to buy insurance. You know, we're not going to want to pay $1 million for insurance, right? So
right.
We're taking this one-on-one car. But truly, you know, I don't want to pay another 20 grand in insurance premiums because I just took on this car. Like, I'm not going to make that money, you know, fixing or, you know, whatever we're doing. Where it might be, you know, we could repaint the car and that could be only 15 grand or 20 grand. I don't know, you know, how much it costs to do that. But let's just say, you know, the services might be say 50 grand and you might be making, you know, 20 grand on the job. But long story short, the profit doesn't make sense for the insurance premium to be that much higher. So you have to look at yourself and say, I'm willing to take a risk at some threshold and allow my policy to be some sort of a buffer. So if your 250 buffer was enough where you felt like, you know, I mean, Alex, I don't know if you're going to light fire this thing and burn it down to the tires, but you know, long story short, I don't think you're going to totally trash the car, but there's a chance that this guy could want to sue you and say, I want a new one.
Right.
But, you know, long story short, it probably won't be that bad. So the 250 probably could have fit, and you might say, I might step in the extra 50K it might take, but you know, you have to be willing to take that risk.
Right. Yeah. And I was just curious because I do, you know, I mean, Jason and I both have friends who, you know, are very fortunate enough to have clients that have collections, and then these collections are, you know, cars of that caliber. And it's always kind of made me think, like, okay, so how do you carry insurance, you know, for these collections of, you know, not just $1 million car, but five or six, you know, $1 million cars or multi-$1 million cars. When I had a hard time, you know, just being able to cover 250, you know, for a $300,000 car, And granted, again, like I said before, I don't think that it would cause that much damage. But like you said, when it's a car of that value, the owner could be like, well, now it's worthless to me. It's trash. You know, I don't want it. I want a new one. You're paying for it, kind of thing.
Most of the time they're not going to see their, I hate to say this, I'm just going to be honest with you, but you know, when you provide a certificate of insurance, if you have garage keeper's liability, they're going to just show the liability coverage. They're probably not going to show the other facets of the garage keeper's insurance, which is essentially the, you know, if you've got a dealer's tag and you've got a small inventory of cars you're trying to sell on your lot. So there's going to be lot coverage. It could be care, custody, and control of folks that you're taking their car in and out. So there's a reporting form that could be essentially attached to that policy as well. They're not going to see all those things. On the face value, they're probably going to see the $1 million, $2 million that I would highly recommend that you get versus the $250, $500. Gotcha. So they're going to think, you know, personally, they're going to think that you've got more than sufficient coverage, but you know the difference of what you have for their vehicle care, custody, and control because you've been explained that in a policy. So you just have to make that calculated risk. I'm going to do this, but I essentially only take cars in that are 50 to 100. So this is a one-off, you know, maybe twice a year deal that if something goes wrong, and I'm sorry, I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget, but everything is in the details and you have to make sure that you have a transfer agreement, which is essentially a contract between you and your client, right? So what I encourage all of my my prospects and clients to do is to make sure you have a subcontractor agreement and essentially an agreement with your clients that spells out specifically what you're going to step in for and what they're going to step in for. And you can clearly identify in your agreement, if you're taking in somebody's property, and this is probably a huge nugget of information right here, is spell out in their in your deal that their insurance is going to be primary. And if they sign that deal, right, guess what? You're going to be secondary to their insurance. So they're going to have to go back to their Hagerty insurance or, you know, their, you know, Nationwide policy, and they're going to have to file a claim, and you're going to be able to fill in, you know, the diminished value or the gap versus being the primary guy. So truly, you know, and that's probably the biggest thing is to make sure that your documents that you're having your client sign is looked at by an attorney, looked at by your insurance agent, and you feel comfortable with the fact that they're making them primary versus you, right? Because that's going to save you in a bad instance like this.
Right, right. Let's do another commercial break real quick.
What's happening, Detail Solutions Podcast? Ian here from Auto Fiber. I've got a special discount for our Towel of the Month Club. TOTM25 will get you 25% off of the Towel of the Month Club. And in the Towel of the Month Club, pretty much you sign up, pay for a year, and every month we're going to send you a different sample of a different type of towel or applicator. So it's a good way to get different samples and try different types of our products. So use TOTM25 at checkout for 25% off.
So this question is because obviously something that I'm curious about. So there's a lot of detailers out there, and I don't think that there's much wrong with it, but like when they're doing interior details and things like that, they will remove seats. You know, they'll pull, you know, consoles and dashes and stuff like that out, which, I mean, if you're mechanically inclined, like by all means, I personally do not do that because I'm always, you know, err on the side of like, what happens if I don't bolt a seat all the way back down right, you know, and then that person gets in an accident and, you know, they come back to me. So on the insurance side, like, you know, what's your recommendation for that? I mean, is that something that you think that people should kind of stay away from, or is that something that, you know, when you're kind of doing that risk assessment thing, you know, they say, hey, you know, Warren, like I pull seats out, you know, to make sure that I'm fully cleaning an interior, like what do I need to do just in case kind of thing?
I mean, it's all in the details again. Like it's like, hey, you know, there's a questionnaire or supplemental application that's going to be asked from you from an insurance carrier that's going to say, okay, am I comfortable with this guy's risk, right? So typically those questions are not as in-depth as you might think and probably should be at sometimes, but those questions on the surface are going to dig into certain operations. If they don't dig into, hey, are you removing seats from cars? And if you're putting them back correctly, are you certified to do so and so forth? You know, the claim will be covered under insurance. Now that carrier is going to immediately drop you and say, you know, wow, like, you know, we thought we were like, get this guy that's going to be, you know, washing cars. And now this guy's literally like, you know, removing seats and seatbelts and so forth. So, you know, it might make you uninsurable moving forward if there's an accident, but insurance will cover that. Now, do I recommend it? You know, as a car guy, and you know, I've been in projects that have taken me, you know, I look at the YouTube video and it looks like it takes the guy 30 minutes and it's like 3 hours later. And I'm like, wow, how did the guy do it? Like with two clicks and that, but nothing ever seems to go back exactly the same. And yeah. So I would say be careful, because OEM parts versus, you know, aftermarket or even just modified by you taking out, putting it back in, never seems to be exactly the same. You know, there's always a missing screw or something, but even if there's not, it does never seem to be as good as it was from factory. So just be careful, I would say, but you know, insurance can take care of that. But I wouldn't recommend taking a seat out. I mean, taking out the console that has nothing to do with the drivability of the car is great. But I mean, I could read off incidents right now where, you know, Jason went to the Pep Boys to go get an oil change, and they said, hey, we want to do a tire rotation, and they forgot to put the lug bolts back on the rear of this car. He's going down I-4, and guess what? The wheel flies off, and he hits a, you know, school bus full of kids going to SeaWorld. You know, it's a $12 million incident right there. Yeah. Yeah, didn't even know about it.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I stopped doing wheels off type details is just because, you know, not worried about not, you know, torquing it back down and things like that, because that's what everybody says. Well, all you have to do is torque it down and you're fine. But a lot of these European cars don't have lug nuts, they have lug studs. So you got to get the bolt, or you got to get the wheel on the center clip, and you have to get it like snapped in before you can take the wheel studs and put them in. And I'm just worried about that. In fact, I was when I was at Chris's house the other day, they had the wheel repair guy there fixing the wheel on the Range Rover. And I've known the wheel repair guy for a while, and I was talking to him, and he was telling me how he had to, you know, I think he had like three guys working for him, and he said he had to let the three guys go because he was getting calls from dealerships that, you know, these guys weren't putting wheels back on right. They were missing a lug nut or not tightening them down all the way. And, you know, he was, you know, getting hammered with, you know, a lot of damages, and, you know, he had to basically, you know, stop doing these dealerships, which he said he was making close to $300,000 a year at each dealership, you know, and he had three guys going to these dealerships. So, you know, that's a lot of money he's losing, but, you know, safety wise. So, yeah, I mean, that's one reason why I don't do wheels anymore, because just, you know, basically like what you're saying, I'm more worried about somebody getting an accident from it. So another
I just
question.
Want to say something. Can I just say something to that real quick? Because I think this is really important. There'll always be a difference between a business owner and an employee, right? Like the type of service that Jason does for his clients will never be eclipsed by his employees. I don't care if he's trained them 24/7. He overwatches the guy the minute that they're by themselves and they're trying to do it. They just cannot do what you guys do, right? And unfortunately, you know, the quality will change a little bit, you know, and you can always, you know, let's just say it's not going to be 100% like what you do. It might be 95%, which is more than adequate. But in a situation like the wheel situation that you're talking about, 95% could be the matter of somebody having an accident or not. So unfortunately, you know, I see that. And, you know, a business owner always has more control of their own business because they care more about right. what could potentially happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's do another break real quick before I ask the next question.
Still sitting on a bucket or poorly built shop stool? Aren't you tired of the discomfort and back pain caused by your lousy shop stool? The days of tiny casters and thin seats are over. Meet the Viper Chair, America's number one shop chair, made right here in the USA. The Viper Chair glides over any surface and loose debris with 4-inch industrial-grade casters. Relieve your lower back pain with the perfectly angled backrest. Prevent tipping and improve posture with a wide, sturdy base. Viper Chairs are designed for every industry, automotive, detailing, welding, or any other project in your garage, no matter what you love to do. With an artillery of accessories, Viper is here to help you with whatever the job requires. Stop wasting your money buying cheap China-made shop stools and get yourself a Viper chair, handcrafted right here in America. Visit ViperIndustrial.com now for our $50 site-wide sale. But hurry, this sale ends soon. Shop ViperIndustrial.com. That's ViperIndustrial.com.
Yes. So one of the questions that we had, earlier on in the, it was actually a comment to the post that I did earlier. I think you touched on it a little bit on the beginning, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, for, Jackie, that we get it answered fully is, her question is, what are some of the things, or what are some of the questions that you should be asking your insurance provider before deciding to, you know, sign a policy with them or use them. If you're, you know, doing due diligence and you're asking around maybe multiples or something like that.
So I guess the number one question is, you know, how long have you been doing this for? And do you have any other companies that you insure similar to mine? You know, kind of get an idea of their experience in the field, right? So you could be a generalist and like myself, like I can kind of ebb and flow with pretty much everything because I've been doing this long enough. But, you know, if you're in a specific niche business, you want to say, you know, how many detailing companies or how many mobile, you know, companies have you done? And, you know, what's your experience with that? You know, like ask them, interview them as if they were going to be an employee for you. Right. Cause I mean, that's right. Essentially what they're going to do. Number two would be, you know, what programs, what carriers do you have access to that makes you different from the other guy? You know, do you have anything that's a little different, a little bit more competitive, you know? And, you know, part of the reason why Chris, myself, and my other partner, we sold our company to Hub was because, you know, we were a small independent shop and we crushed it as our company in hospitality, but we realized that we really needed access to more and more resources for our clients. So we decided to merge with Hub simply because they had the manpower and woman power and just resources that we could tap into that made sense for our clients. You know, instead of having just 100 companies now that we could look at, we've got, you know, 200 companies and we had so much leverage and buying power that those carriers were, you know, basically doing their best to get us the best deal because they wanted to make sure that we kept on pushing business their way. So, you know, number one question is, you know, have you done this before? What's your experience? You know, what other companies similar to mine that you've insured in the past? What programs and access to resources or what carriers do you have that you can get to? You had mentioned Allstate, you know, that's a good question. Hey, look, is it just Allstate companies or do you have other companies you can get to? So, again, not to bash on Allstate, they've got a great product and they can get things done when needed. And they definitely have a niche in certain industries. So that works. You know, the last thing I would say is, you know, an insurance agent is never like at the end of the day, I'm not trying to categorize myself, but like, you know, we provide you a document, a piece of paper that you're transferring your risk. But what happens when that risk or that piece of paper needs to be activated and there's a claim, right? So,
right.
You know, I'd say, hey, look, you know, when was the last time you got a claim? Like, tell me about what happened and what can you do? What can you do to assist me? Because it's 10 o'clock at night and you find out you just literally ripped a mirror off a car and it's attached to an electrical system that now is going to cost you 15 grand to fix and you're freaking out. Like, you know, What's my deductible? Where's my policy? I don't know. I don't even know where anything is. Can I get my guy on the phone? Is he accessible? You know, what's the next step? Can you walk me through it? They've never been into a claim before. They're going to say, I don't even know. Like, I'm going to have you call this 1-800 number. And, you know, they need to be able to guide you and assist you when things go south. So, you know, I definitely would say experience is a really important factor of choosing an insurance agent, not just because he's your buddy or as a friend or because he just got into insurance and you like the dude. I would say, you know, tell me who you work with and give me an idea or flavor of the folks that you've helped in the past and who you have access to. Like, you know, what kind of programs do you have for me and, you know, what can you do?
Right, right. Jason, I know you had some questions you were talking about earlier. You want to jump in or are you going to be silent a little
bit? I was going to, but like his explanation of everything kind of just like makes my questions already answered. It's great stuff. Like, I mean, you're making my job easier. So, I just
wanted people to know that you're still here with us.
Well, one question, and I even hate to ask this kind of question, but I want to ask it just to kind of keep the level playing field for everybody out there. But what would you say to somebody who is just starting up but can't afford insurance, like at all? Like, what kind of advice would you give them, if any?
You know, I'd just be calculated with the folks that you work with. You know, most likely if you're going to be working with close friends and family members, you're not going to get sued, right? Like, you're not going to go wash your brother's car and you screw something up, he's going to try to get, you know, Dan Newell to sue you for $1 million. So I'd be careful on what I get started with, and I would be careful on what jobs I would take. But everything has to be a calculated risk. There's folks that do not have any insurance, right? But they're willing to take it on the chin in regards to, hey, I'll pay for it. Like, I'm willing to step up if needed. So that has to be something that they're willing to do. And the second part of that is that you need to, I'm sorry, my daughter's walking in the background. She's definitely distracting me right now. You know, that person has to just, you know, have to understand that what's going to differentiate them from the other guy eventually is going to, you know, get themselves to be legit. So I understand cost and overhead and profit, you know, and there might be a thin margin. And sometimes, just like in insurance, right? You know, I've got guys that want to undercut me. They're like, hey man, I'm going to save you 20%. I'm going to save you 15%. They'll do whatever they can to get the business, but they cut their nose off to spite their face, right? Because once they get into a situation, they realize like, God, I can't really make this happen. So now what am I going to do? Well, you can't do it for free. So be careful on the prices and what you feel is the right cost, because you have to value yourself and the services and the amount of time that you're going to provide that client, right? So if you're going to be fully legit and it's going to be above board, it's going to be a little bit more expensive than the other guy. But guess what? The other guy doesn't have this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But if you're starting off, you know, you're going to have to cut those corners and you're going to have to be upfront with yourself and say, look, I can only do, you know, this so much. And then when I get to this point and I could buy something, then I'm willing to go to the next step. But you got to be careful. You can't just jump in the deep end.
Yeah. And I mean, realistically, I mean, insurance, it's not that expensive. I mean, when you break it down, you know, usually it's like, you know, a big figure and people freak out, but like that's your annual, and then you break it down times 12 and it's, you know, a couple hundred months, $300 a month or something like that. So I mean, it's, if you're just starting out and you're worried about it, you know, I'm sure you could probably get some basic insurance that wouldn't cost a whole lot every month to at least keep you somewhat insured versus, you know, kind of just getting up every morning and crossing your fingers.
Well, here's the careful part of that.
Uh-huh.
And this is why you need to make sure you talk to your insurance agent. You'll always have an insurance agent and they'll sell you a policy, right? And they'll sell you like a piece of paper that's like $750. You're like, man, this is a great deal. It covers nothing, right?
Yeah.
It covers literally, you know, in case that your dog trips and falls and, you know, you got to take him to, like, literally nothing to do with what you're actually doing in business.
Right.
So you got to just make sure that you don't buy an insurance policy just to have a policy, right? Because that makes no sense. You're just wasting money and throwing it away. So just find out, you know, what am I covered for? Is this covering my business? It's just, just a premises liability policy, or is this actually covering my operations? Do I have insurance? You know, because if it's a difference between $750 and, you know, $2,000, you might spend the $2,000 because, you know, in case something happens, you've got coverage.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Let's do another break and then we'll come right back.
Now is your chance to try Oberg's new rinseless wash and quick detailer. Additionally, you can save 15% by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. This hyper concentrate can be diluted down for a rinseless wash and a quick detailer. It serves excellent as a clay bar lubricant and truly smells incredible. To find out more, please visit OberkCarCare.com.
Now,
that guy needs to read me a book, man. I just want him to read me a book. He's like, dude, his voice is up there with like Morgan Freeman, honest to God.
Yeah. Well, call Maddie and tell him to read your bedtime story. So for people that have employees, right? Like workman's comp insurance, you know, what should they be looking for, you know, with that to make sure that, you know, not only that their employee is covered, but they're covered, you know, in case the employee tried to sue them or something.
Yeah. Workers' compensation is probably one of the most important things to have for a business, right? Because it protects you as an employer, it protects the employees and gives them a peace of mind. The fact that in case something happens, you know, Alex might say, hey, you know, Warren, climb this ladder. And I'm like, hey, Alex, that ladder does not look safe to me. Right. Like, are you kidding me? And, you know, I might climb that ladder and like, boom, like I fall. I'm like, you know, now what? Right. And I don't have any medical insurance. You know, I'm paycheck to paycheck. Workers' comp's going to step in and protect that employee. Is going to pay for every single medical issue that person could have related to the accident, not prior to or anything like that. But,
yeah,
you know, you might have a bad back, but it might not because you're, you know, doing something car related, but you fell and you broke your arm. So your arm's covered. It protects you as well, right? Because that, you know, that spouse might, you know, try to sue and be like, you know, my husband, I need him every weekend to, you know, cut the trees and do the yard work. You know, my yard looks like crap now. It's your fault. Protects you from getting sued from the employee and also from the employer or from the spouse or what have you. So, I highly recommend workers' comp. Like, I cannot even say enough. There's a lot of folks that try to get, you know, an exemption, right? And they try to get around the fact that we've got 1099s. But truly, right, if you look at the definition of workers' comp and what it's there for, if you're handing folks like tools and supplies and things to do their job, regardless if you consider them a 1099 or subcontractor, they're truly an employee of yours, right? Because you're directing them, they show up to work. I cannot explain to you how many times that people have tried to go down that route and they get into a mediation with a judge of compensation claims. And the guy's like, dude, that's an employee. That's not a 1099. That's right, your employee, and you're fully responsible for that guy. So if you don't want to put your personal finances and well-being on the hook, I highly recommend workers' comp. And what to look for if you've got more than basically one employee, and it's not just your kind of mom and pop, you know, deal, you know, I would recommend workers' comp. You could go to a payroll company like ADP, Paychex, and what have you.
Yeah.
They can easily put it together. They'll do your payroll and stuff. That would be the easiest step to go to. If you're a bigger operation, you've got 15, 25, 30 guys, you know, I would go to an insurance agency like Hub International and say, hey, look, man, I've got a big group of guys. Some of them are 1099. Some of them are W-2. I need help. And we'll put a policy together that protects you and protects them. And although it seems expensive, trust me, I can tell you some of the claims that I've seen, and you would be horrified like how injured somebody could be for doing some mundane little thing.
Right, right.
What about now, people who work by themselves? Like one man band. And Alex knows where I'm going with this.
You're reading my mind.
Because this motherfucker literally just on a two-step ladder fell off and broke his wrist because he hit a power cord just right and it slipped, fell, broke his wrist, and it passed. Yeah. I came from Tampa and helped him on a truck because of that. But what would you recommend for employees such as Alex, who just have himself to take care of.
So I don't know if you know this, right? Because a lot of folks find this out the hard way, but like your health insurance, if you have health insurance, won't cover a work comp injury, right? So like I've got folks who are like, oh dude, I've got like Aetna and I've got, you know, through my wife and it's perfect. And they get into a car accident because they're driving to a job and Aetna's like, eh, declined because that's a work comp injury. They're like, well, we don't have workers' comp. I got hurt. They're like, yeah, you were in the process of work, not covered. Just got to be careful with that because it could go completely sideways. And just because you're an owner of a company, everyone's like, I won't sue my own insurance company, but you're not suing your insurance company. They have benefits provided to you because you got hurt at work. And that's basically all it is. I had a landscaper that worked for me many years ago when I had a apartment complex, and he cut his leg on something and got gangrene. Like literally he was about to lose his leg. Owner of the company, he literally had like a $50,000 claim. His health insurance would pick it up, but workers' comp took $1. And then he actually couldn't operate his business for a little while. They took care of some of the things that he lost, his wages and so forth. So workers' comp's really important. But as a one-man show, like you mentioned, Jason, as Alex seems to not be able to climb a ladder more than 2 feet high, you got to take that risk yourself, my friend. You know, if you're going to fall off a ladder and break the wrist, you know, you'll try to file it with your health insurance company, but they might say, you know, yes or no. I mean, you know, that's a risk again that you've got to take. If you can't transfer it, you know, and you can't have, you don't have the means to transfer it, then, you know, you've got to take that on your own shoulders.
I lucked out. My wife's insurance covered it.
Oh, look at you. I'm going to call them tomorrow and say, you messed up. I mean, it happens all the time. And they ask you, how did it happen? I was just washing my own car at my house.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I said. I said I was on a step ladder hanging something or whatever. And I said, I stepped backwards and hit the thing and fell and broke it.
Insurance fraud.
We've all been there, dude. We all have insurance stories and like, you know, those workman comp stories. I know I got a whole bunch too, man.
Yeah, I got like the best one. Like when you talk about cars, I have a large company that does all the donut deliveries for Dunkin' Donuts, right? So they go to the kitchen, pick it up fresh, like middle of the night, and they drop them off. And buddy was trying to wash the truck, and he had soaked the damn thing up. He's standing on the hood. It's fully soaked up. And he literally does a backflip and land, like must have been 5 feet off the ground when he landed. He landed in such an awkward way. I think he like broke his neck. He's okay. I think he lived, but my goodness, you know, like a mundane thing is just like quickly just wash off the bugs off the car, turn into a huge workers' comp injury.
Aren't like the hoods of those trucks a little bit slanted?
Yes.
Yeah,
very slanted.
So workman's
comp. He's on the top of the box. I think he's on the top of the box. Yeah, I don't know exactly. You know,
good God.
I mean, I could just tell you when we try to file a claim, they're like, you know, they what? And I was like, well, it's part of the driver class code. You know, the drivers drive, but they also have to maintain the vehicle, so they also sometimes have to wash the vehicle. And they're like, okay, but you know, I have seen workers' comp claims denied. I have seen fact that, you know, and that's another thing you have to be careful. I mean, I could go down, we could talk for hours. I mean, I don't know if you guys want to be here till 11 o'clock, but, you know, wow, like you can have a drug-free program and the employee doesn't pass a drug test after an injury. Like it could be a workers' comp claim that gets denied, you know.
Yeah.
It could be non-negligence of the employer, you know. Something that happens on a weekend. I can't tell you how many workers' comp injuries we have on a Monday because, you know, Jason was playing flag football with his son and all of a sudden threw his back out. And then, you know, all of a sudden he was lifting a microfiber towel and all, his back just got thrown out, you know, and he needs to go see Jew at orthopedic. So like that happens all the time. So you got to just be careful. I mean, workers' comp, sometimes people take advantage and insurance. There's a lot of things that people take advantage.
Yeah.
But I would say it's one of the basics that you really need to have.
Right. All right, let's do one more break real quick.
If you own a detailing business, you need Car Supplies Warehouse. We offer tested and proven solutions to keep your business running strong. We offer wholesale memberships, in-person training, and the best chemicals, products, and tools all in one place. Go to carsupplieswarehouse.com and use code SOLUTIONS for 15% off. Offer is valid for one-time use only. Some restrictions may apply. Go shop now on carsupplieswarehouse.com.
How you like that one, Jason?
They had to make it different, didn't they? They had to make it different.
Jason did a good job with that one.
No, but it's a long code.
Yeah, I know. And I even told him, hey, man, DSP. And he's like, solutions. I'm like, whatever.
Can I ask you a quick question, though?
Yes, sir.
Can I flip the script just 1 second?
Sure.
So I got a car ceramic coated.
Okay.
And when I picked up my car, I felt like this guy – well, first off, it was only $1,000 to get the full car done, which I thought was a great deal. I was like, you know, I know I'm underpaying for this job, and I'm probably going to have to suffer for this later on. So, number one. All right, so I made the mistake. But number two, my man had gotten ceramic coating on the windows, the windshield. He got it on everything. Like, I think he even hit, like, the tires, like, you know, inside the car. Like, I don't even know how much ceramic coating this dude must have put on, but he must have just taken the bottle and just sprayed it over the car and just, like, just smeared it on and it's like, yeah, we're good.
Sounds like what a spray can coating.
I had a guy that came out to do a mobile detail, and the guy's like, yeah, bro, this is, you know, it's like, we're going to have to fix the this and this and this. So, long story short, and I'm sorry to ask you this now, but I'm curious. No, can you fix that? Like, can I get something like redone if it's been ceramic coated? Like, is that something that can be removed and redone professionally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, depending on how bad it is. I mean, usually if it's
on the glass. Why don't you tell me your experience with that white Mercedes?
Yeah. Usually if it's on the glass, that's pretty easy. I mean, most of the times, you know,
he took it off. He got it off.
Put a rubbing compound on a towel.
Yeah.
And you know, it'll wear down. Sometimes a razor blade on glass will work. Now, depending on the paint, how it is. I mean, I had a guy who decided to coat his GLE AMG 63 and used the whole 50 mil bottle on a car that probably only required half of the bottle to be done. But he didn't know how. He apparently didn't watch YouTube videos. I mean, he just poured it on and kind of smeared it around. So some areas, yeah,
exactly.
Some areas it was really thick, and some areas there was absolutely none. But the most important thing was he'd never leveled it down, and then let it sit for 6 months before he brought it to me.
It looked like a whole new paint job. It looked like that new rainbow paint job.
Yeah, yeah, because of the flash in it. So I mean, $6,000 later, the car was fixed and recoated the correct way. It did have some damage to the clear coat because he had left the coating on there for and put it on so thick and left it for so long that some of the run lines, the solvents in the coating had actually eaten into the clear coat. The beauty of it is that it was that pearl white that Mercedes does. So once I got it corrected and repolished and everything out in the sun, you couldn't see anything. But yeah, it can be fixed, you know, wherever he got it on. Tires, you're going to have to, if he really did get on the tires, you're going to have to live with it on the tires because
it'll wear off, right?
Yeah, it'll wear off.
Eventually it will.
Yeah, glass, like I said, glass, you can take some you know, rubbing compound on a microfiber towel and work it down or razor blade it. Razor blade should work. On glass,
you say sure razor blade, but somebody got so active on my truck when they took the stuff off the stickers off the window that they etched my back windows.
Razor blades, you got to be real careful. You got to have a lot of lubrication, and you got to hold them at a 45 degree angle to make sure that they don't, you know, catch to scratch and stuff. But but no, it could be fixed.
Just gonna cost double.
$25,000. Yeah, no, I don't think it would be that much. I mean, just curious. Do you know what coating he put on it? Did he tell you?
It was like the middle one. It was like the. It wasn't like the 1 year, but it was like the 5 year versus the 10 year, or something like that. It was like the middle one. And I only cut corners because the car's a little bit older, and I thought that at some point in time I was going to get it probably resprayed. It had been in an accident before, like there were some things that had been resprayed, so I wasn't so protective about my car. But as I mentioned on my truck, which was like brand spanking new when I got it done, I didn't cut any corners. I had them like, you know, fully ceramic coat the whole thing and PPF the front. So, but anyways, I'll be calling you guys after this to try to get the car fixed. I'm sure.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Well, shit. Let's do the last commercial and then I'll come back and ask you the question that I had for you. You need a website, but you don't know where to start? Detailers Roadmap can help. Their websites are designed for detailers and have all the features you need to convert visitors into lifelong customers. It's easy to use, affordable, and they'll even write and design the website from start to finish. So accelerate your auto detailing business's growth and increase online visibility with Detailers Roadmap's bespoke digital marketing services. You'll rank high on search engines and increase PPF, ceramic coating, and tinting sales. Contact Detailers Roadmap today to schedule your free discovery call. And make sure you tell them you heard about it here on the Detail Solutions podcast to receive your discount. Okay, so this will probably be the last question I have unless Jason's got something because I can't think of any other ones. And this is one that Chris actually kind of helped me out with, but I think it's, you know, one that definitely will benefit people on here is, so what do you recommend for concierge service? So, I mean, I've had clients in the past that are like, hey, you know, come to the house, pick up the car, take it to the shop. You know, and we're not talking cheap cars, you know, we're talking $200,000 Vipers and whatnot, you know, and I see a lot of people, you know, on social media, whether it's detailers that I know or detailers that I just know through social media that, you know, that they're like, oh yeah, a client gave me the keys to the Ferrari and, you know, told me to go have some fun with it as I take it to the shop and, you know, things like that. What do you recommend, you know, for that type of service? I mean, if you're going to do a concierge pickup and drop off service, you're going to be driving somebody's, you know, $40,000 Mustang or, you know, $300,000 Ferrari. What's the best way to go about covering your ass with that?
Well, I highly recommend not doing it, to be honest with you, because it's not you. It's always the other idiot that seems to cut you off or run into back of you, right?
Exactly. So like,
you could be an F1 driver and still get an accident on I-4. But truly, if you're going to do it, make sure that your care, custody, and control policy, which is part of your garage keepers, is sufficient enough to carry enough insurance to do that. And you're upfront with your insurance agent that, hey, look, we're going to do this. You know, we're going to be driving a radius of X miles. You know, it's typically 50 miles from our shop. We'll go ahead and pick it up, bring it back to them. It's all about being expressive to your agent and your agent being expressive to the carrier to let them know and identify what the true risks are going to be. And if the carrier is okay with it and is insuring it, then you should be fine doing it. But I would always tell you that it's much better for you to have the insured bring it to you because there's so many things that can go wrong. And I hate to say this because, you know, as a car owner myself, you know, when the car comes back to you, they scrutinize the car like as if you had, you know, drove it on a track, you know, and on two wheels on the way to them. Yeah. When in actuality, you didn't do anything wrong, but they probably drove the car like an asshole. And, you know, you never know like what problems that you are going to pick up. Like the car could have electrical problems, a mechanical problem, what have you. And now you're inheriting, you know, as soon as you put your hands on that guy's car and you're taking it with you, you're inheriting all those problems and issues that could potentially go wrong. And you don't know, you know, and there's folks I'm sure that, you know, dupe valet guys and stuff like that all the time and say, you know, hey, that scratch wasn't there. You put it on the car. It's up to you to fix it. When they already know that they scratched it, the parking lot, because they rubbed the shopping cart up against the, you know, at the Walmart, and they're like, ah, damn, you know, I did that myself. Right.
Right. Right.
So just be careful. Always make sure if you're going to pick up someone's car that you're going to do a full due diligence and look over with the owner with them, you know, try to do the best you can, make sure you start it up, make sure it's running good. Look at the brakes, look at the tires, look at it as your life is on the line when you're taking this girl's car. because something can go completely sideways. It might be a $1 million car, but as we talked about before, like someone might have done a wheel service on it, might not put the wheels on correctly. You know, you never know. So just do your due diligence, make sure you look at the car, you know, have the right contract in place that says, hey, look, you know, I'm going to drive this car to my shop to be convenient to you, but your insurance is primary. I'm secondary to it. Something happens, it's your car. Your insurance is going to take care of it. We'll take care of anything else outside of that. Make sure you have all those agreements in place. You know, and then drive it like you stole it, man. Like drive that thing, redline the shit out of it. You know, I'm just joking. Don't do that. Don't do that.
And that's a good one because, you know, I mean, you know, I want to make sure that people kind of understand, like, you don't want to rely on your own personal insurance, you know, to kind of cover you that you're in a, you know, because you're in a car. Because that was the question that I had talked to Chris about, where we had changed our insurance one time to kind of cover me driving a client's car like 3 miles to the shop to be able to get it done. And thankfully I had it wrong, but I had told Chris that when my wife called, that they said, no, that's covered under, you know, your insurance. And Chris was like, you better fix that right now. Like, don't ever do that. And I said, well, dude, that was like 4 years ago and we really haven't since. But thankfully I talked to my wife and I said, hey, you need to change that. And she goes, no, it was never under our insurance. We had it under the business. I just had to change it. And I said, okay, so my mistake. But I'm guessing that there might be some people out there that don't know this information and would just think like, hey, well, I have insurance, so, you know, I'd be covered.
Your car insurance, your personal car insurance, and trust me, I'm a commercial guy, so this could be, you know, not 1,000,000% factual, but your car insurance personally covers you and that person's car, but does not cover their car. Like, their car insurance covers their car. So, like, they, you know, Chris has a car insurance for his car. You know, you have PIP and you might have some liability, but long story short, their car insurance, that Chris's car insurance, is going to have to pick that up if in case something happens. Now, they're going to try to subrogate and come back to you personally and your insurance. But I can tell you that, you know, 9 out of 10 times, if it's a personal auto policy, it's going to fall back on, you know, the person that owns the vehicle. So they don't know that. And they're hoping that your business insurance is going to pick that up. But again, I would completely identify that in a contract between you and them before you pick it up. Like, hey, you know, I'm doing you a service, but you know, my insurance picks it up while it's parked and sitting at my shop, not while I'm driving it.
Right. Yeah. And I did have one client that was like that. I mean, I still do. I mean, I haven't seen him in a while cause he's not, retired now and kind of got rid of all of his fun cars. But when he had his ACR Viper, like 800 horsepower, you know, and he's like, hey, go pick Haley up from school in it. I'm like, and he's like, don't worry about it, man. My insurance will cover whatever. Like, you're completely absolved, like blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, then you don't have to tell me twice, you know? But then like on the flip side, like when I'm talking to Chris and Chris is like, dude, I love you, but if you wrecked my car, like, you know, forget about it. You know, like I'm suing your ass, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, so yeah, sure. That's why I wanted to ask that question, just because, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of us out there that will, you know, for sake of not wanting to lose the sale, right? Like clients like, hey, I want to get this done, but I don't have any time to bring it to you. Like, you come pick it up and then, you know, we'll do it kind of thing. And I know there's a lot of detailers that are going to be like, okay, well, I'm not, you know, leaving money on the table. Let's go do it. So, you know, I think that was a really good question to kind of make sure to ask you. Jason, you got anything else?
No, sir. No, sir.
All right.
Was that person that you mentioned with the ACR Viper, was he an older person or a younger person?
He's
my age. I'm 42.
No, he's older. He's probably 60-ish.
Does he have a son named Nolan?
I
used to know a guy named Nolan. I used to room with him at Florida State. His dad was a big Viper guy. Lived in Lake Mary. Figured it might be the same dude, but that's
actually no. This was the guy who used to, you know, marine fasteners over off of 417. He used to be the CEO or the COO of Brain Fasteners. He's had a lot of crazy cars over the years that I've known him, and the ACR Viper with 800 horsepower at the wheels was one of them. Actually had two of them. He had one, and then he found one in a different color that he liked better. So he sold the first one and got the second one, and all that fun stuff. So
scary car.
Yeah. It was fun to drive.
Scary car.
Yeah. Listen, Warren, I appreciate you for jumping on and doing this, man. Hopefully everybody who's listening to this or the people that have watched it got the information that they want. If there is a question that you didn't get answered, it's your fault for not chiming in or messaging us or something. I tried to ask all the questions that I think were important. And Warren, I know you kind of deal in like some like really high, you know, kind of figure type stuff or whatever, but if anybody would want to maybe touch base with you, and if they do have a question after this, or maybe, you know, be able to have you point them in a right direction, if you want to give out any of your information, I'll give you an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, guys. So I work with Hub International. We're in Winter Park. We are we're the fifth largest insurance agency in the country. I specialize in transportation, contractors insurance, property, typically do large commercial stuff, but we do have a small business unit. And we also do have a high net worth personal lines that we can do your home and everything else. I'm more than willing to help you kind of navigate the waters of insurance. My advice is free. I'm here to help folks. I just want to be a resource. If I can't write your insurance, I can't do it. I know somebody that can. I've been connected with a lot of folks, you know, on the smaller side, on the bigger side, the niche side. So anything that needs to be done, I can help you. The best way to contact me is email. And that's Warren, Warren.Morris, Morris, at Hub International. That's H-U-B International spelled out .com. That's the best way to get in touch with me.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you so much for doing this. You know, it's definitely a different topic for us. So hopefully, it's detail related, but it's not detail related in a sense. So hopefully it checks everybody's boxes who wanted insurance done. Cool. So thank you again. I appreciate it, man. I'll talk with you soon. We'll touch base. I'll come either I'll try to come see you and look at that car, or if you want to swing by the shop and let me look at it, give you some ideas on what to do or whatever. I'll try to see what I can do for you. So
yeah, man, I appreciate you guys. And if you guys ever want to jam on cars, man, I'm, you know, we don't have to talk about insurance all the time. We could talk about cars too. I'm a car geek here, man.
So. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, you have a good night. We appreciate it.
Have a good night. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, man. So, insurance, you know, protect yourself from mayhem, all that fun stuff. What do you think?
I mean, it's stuff that I already knew anyway. When I had my shop, you know, I had my partner and everything like that, but he was more of that side of the business. I was the hands-on guy. So, right. I mean, I knew about the stuff, but I just knew enough to get me by. Right. What he did is kind of gave me the deeper rundown of all that. So it was very good. It was very informative.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think some of it might be over my head, some people's heads, but that's why
there's people of them out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's definitely, I mean, you know, it's awesome to be able to have that information now to kind of know, you know, what to do. I mean, I'm kind of fortunate that Michelle does work for a big insurance company firm, kind of similar to what Warren works for, even though she doesn't sell the insurance, but she has, you know, that capability and everything. So she's usually the one doing that stuff, but at least now I kind of, you know, have some ideas.
A little bit of a better understanding.
Yeah. And hopefully our listeners will too. And, you know, and again, you know, if you guys didn't get your question answered, or you have a question that we didn't ask them,
screw you.
Yeah, it's your fault for not jumping on the Facebook Live or the YouTube Live or commenting in the two posts that I put up for the last 2 weeks. But hey, you know, Warren did give out his information. He's an email away. Feel free to reach out to him. And with that, please go share, follow, subscribe.
3 more weeks till MTE, man.
I know.
The countdown begins.
I know. I'm excited. I'm excited.
I think so.
I'm going to share this with our listeners. I know you and I talked about it. I think I'm going to pull the trigger on the podcast expo that weekend too.
Okay.
So if you're,
yeah, I was thinking, you know, I haven't even thought about it till now since we talked about it. I probably will too.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to stick around Sunday, cause I mean, I get up and do my one client early Sunday morning. I could be down at the convention center by 10 o'clock and walk around and see what a podcast expo looks like after coming off of a detail expo. I think that'd be pretty fun.
I think I'll get yelled at by my wife, but I think I can finagle it. Cause like I said, we're going to be in Orlando Wednesday night. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
You know,
it'll be a staycation for you guys.
Yeah. Dude, my vacation's coming in March, dude. I go to the fucking Bahamas, man.
I know. All right, man. Well, listen, I, it's awesome. It's always awesome when you come on. This is my second one today for everybody who doesn't know. I did a podcast earlier today. That'll be the Sunday episode. So I think I've kind of scratched my podcast itch since we haven't really done a whole lot of episodes for the past couple of weeks. I've been kind of jonesing a little bit, I'll be honest with you guys. So the fact that I won't have to do one for another week is going to be.
And next week we're going to have Barry Thiel on.
Yeah, next week we'll have good old Barry. Love that guy.
Talk about regulation in the industry. One of my favorite topics.
I know.
And
I know when we kind of pitched it to each other, we both kind of were like, gotta do it. So we'll see how fun that is. So, all right, buddy. Well, I'm gonna go let the dogs out. I'll talk to you later.
Have a good night, man.
Appreciate it, man. You too. Bye.